This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:17. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And up next, we're talking about Datuk Panalila Rinong, who has shared her experiences of sexual harassment. And we're looking into the response that's come her way because of that.
Okay, so I'm going to take it back to the start. If you remember, a video clip with rape jokes went viral last week. This is something that we covered on the show as well. And following on that, Panalila Rinong basically tweeted that a former coach had allegedly sexually harassed her with sexual jokes, with jokes of a sexual nature. And she said she tried to personally address the issue. However, she was met with bullying in response. Now, after she tweeted about that, there were headlines about Youth and Sports Minister Ahmad Faizal Azumu asking why she had only now come forward with these allegations despite the incident happening over 7 years ago, which then received, of course, a lot of backlash because, you know, people talking about traumatic experiences don't happen on anyone's timeline. You know, there's a variety of reasons as to why that could be the case. It doesn't mean you take it any less seriously. All these different things. Just for context and so you can get a sense of what was said, here is a clip from that press conference.
Sebagai menteri, saya sendiri telah pun berjumpa dengan beberapa atlet. Saya tanyakan tentang perkara ini dan sebagainya. Jadi mungkin tak sesuai untuk saya hebahkan buat masa ini. Tapi I just want to understand the whole scenario picture. Kenapa tiba-tiba pula setelah sekian lama, tiba-tiba pula Leila mengeluarkan kenyataan melalui social media beliau. Saya juga ingin menghubungi rakan mantan Menteri Belia dan Sukan, Saudara Khairi, because I believe dia juga mempunyai pandangan ataupun maklumat tentang perkara ini. But having said that, itu apa yang saya sedang lakukan. Tetapi kita semua, bukan sahaja Kementerian Belia dan Sukan, setiap seorang daripada kita mesti ada sifat benci kepada perbuatan-perbuatan seperti ini. Kalaupun even sexual jokes pun kan, dirty jokes pun kita tak boleh nak terima yang kita anggap sebagai harassment. Ini kan pula kalau berlaku perkara-perkara yang melebihi daripada perkara itu, tentunya kita mesti tolak. Saya nak gesa semua atlet. Semua atlet tak kira di apa peringkat sekalipun. Malahan anak-anak kita di sekolah, saya harap ibu bapa juga didik supaya jika berlaku percakapan yang tidak sesuai, sentuhan yang tidak sesuai di kalangan di antara mereka dengan jurulatih ataupun dia own peers, segera laporkan kepada ibu bapa ataupun coach ataupun kepada pihak berkuasa. Jangan diamkan perkara ini kerana ini adalah satu kesalahan jenayah yang kita kena sama-sama perangi.
So it's interesting that actually the second half of that clip, he's actually saying things that are absolutely spot on, the things that we should be talking about. But instead, I think starting off with that question of why wasn't it brought up earlier is exactly the way conversations about these things get derailed. And just to add on, at that same press conference, a journalist also followed up saying that they were also wondering why this was being brought up now. Then they made reference to an assistant coach who was accused of rape, but then it was acquitted by the courts. He also pointed out that these events took place years ago. And to that, the minister said, and I'm quoting here, "That's the problem," and said it wasn't immediately clear who Panalila was referring to. Now, just to say, Panalila didn't name anyone in her tweets, but in 2017, a Chinese national named Huang Xiang was charged with raping a national diver, and he was later acquitted but was relieved of his duties in the national diving setup.
So Panalila also clarified, saying that she had chosen to share her own experience to spread public awareness and to show support for victims of sexual harassment. So, I mean, in terms of the why is she talking about it now, this is why she's talking about it now. But this really opens up this question of response, right, when it is that someone shares these issues. So that's what we wanted to focus on.
And we'd like to hear from you. Really, this because of this conversation that this response from the minister has opened up, we'd like to know, how would you like to see people in authority talk about sexual harassment? You can call 77-332-900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We are now joined by Charlene Murray, Service Director at the Women's Aid Organization. Charlene, welcome to the show.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for having me.
So what do you make of the minister's response to Panalila's allegations?
As what you mentioned early on, it's contradictory. But I think at the end of the day, what really matters is the way he started it. To have a whole speech of the different referral pathways and how do you exactly protect yourself and report a matter, only to have a precursor to that to talk about how these allegations to insinuate that these allegations may be, there might be a doubt on its truth in it, by saying, why do you even bring it up years later? That is the part which is unacceptable. So it's really casting a doubt on survivors and victims' stories alike when you start statements and start your entire speech on that basis.
What kind of message does this send to survivors of sexual harassment?
It sends a message that there is a time frame of how and what you should feel if you are a survivor of violence, which isn't the case. Something that we learn with, learn about at Women's Aid Organization, working with survivors of violence day in, day out, is that no one comes to you at the moment when an incident happens, because there's a lot that individuals need to process. You need to process, if did this really happen to me? You need to process, what does this make me feel? You need to process, where does this take me? And what does my actions amount to? And all these may take weeks, may take months, may even take years. And something that Datuk Pandalela said that really resonated with everything, and it sort of bounded everything, you know, back to the whole issue of sexual harassment, is that it doesn't matter how many years it takes. Victims, or in our case, we like to call them survivors. Survivors always remember. When something like this happens to you, you always remember. You always carry it with you, regardless of which part of your life you're at.
So do you think that sexual harassment survivors are adequately protected by the current investigative systems we have in place?
Well, I would say that to the number of cases that have surfaced over the years, we're talking, of course, about the 2020 case where the coach was accused in a public Malaysian university. We're talking about previous cases of coaches who have also assaulted or sexually harassed their students. We've not really seen light on where these cases have gone, have we? And I would say that no, the system is not adequate enough to protect especially children and young women in professional settings, because where exactly is the exploitation, sexual exploitation and abuse SOPs? Where is it? Is it made public? Is it something that survivors themselves, that students themselves are made known that there is a system for you to report if this happens to you? So I doubt all this is actually in the picture. And only when it does happen, then these kinds of things, which are usually part of the HR process, comes into play and kickstart. But what should be then made, standard is that any child or any student or any woman that is in this kind of setting should already be briefed on the possibility of exploitation in any form of way, including sexual exploitation, and what are the steps that she would have in place if that were to happen to her or someone she knows.
On ground then, and as individuals, how should we respond to someone speaking out about sexual harassment and abuse?
We listen. We understand what they're saying. We do not put a time frame on when it did happen anyway. But most importantly, and it sounds really cliche, but listening without judgment is probably the best thing you can do. Offering support in knowing where exactly survivors could reach out to, but also understanding where they're at their journey of reaching out is very important. But I would say that listening without judgment is really the way to go.
Now, as you touched on earlier, many survivors may take time to share their experiences, and this might be for a variety of reasons. How can we encourage them to feel safe enough to be able to speak up? How can we create those kinds of safe spaces?
So this ties back to processes that need to be in place. When people know that, for example, I'm going to use this analogy because when people know that they're living in a condominium, you typically feel safer because you know that there are security guards all over the place. You know that there are alarm systems, etc. So it's the same case and same scenario here that when you are in a setting of a school or even in a training school or in a setting where you're far away from your family members or you may not even have the support of friends and family around you immediately if anything were to happen, what always helps is the fact that there is a system in place that you know that you can rely on. And that, I think, is the failure of the, of what we are able to do for our children and for our athletes right now. So knowing that there is a system in place, a complaints mechanism, understanding and also making sure that there is sort of like a glossary of what are the things that, what are the terms, lewd terms that are used, what are the words that are not accepted, what are the kind of relationship status between coaches and athletes or even students and teachers or lecturers and students, what is accepted and what is not, which has to be made open, is something that would help people understand and help women and girls understand where they should stand and what are the lines that should not be crossed.
Charlene, thanks for speaking with us today.
Most welcome.
That was Charlene Murray, Service Director at the Women's Aid Organization, speaking to us about really the kind of response we need when women speak up about sexual harassment. And we'd like to hear from you. How would you like to see people in authority talk about sexual harassment? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.